We have many, many reasons to be proud here at the Henderson congregation, but all throughout this audience, we have people that have given a great deal this weekend. Lots of adults have been working all year long, and we're thankful for their working in the way that they do to encourage and help. And those of you that have never been or seen what Lads to Leaders is about, you would be impressed, I can tell you. You might not like competition. That is the one complaint I've heard, but I believe the competition makes our young people work a little harder, and I think they appreciate when they actually do strive and succeed and are rewarded for that. It's a great program. I heard the treasurer that I ought to have in about 20 or 25 different ways in the different speeches that I heard. And several of those speeches were by our young men. And they did a great job of presenting where our treasure ought to be, because that's where our heart is going to be. And this group right here, and I know there are others that are scattered out through the audience and some that perhaps did not get back for this worship, but what a great weekend for our young people. Very proud of them and the work that they've done. I want to encourage them to work even harder. They did a great job of reading scripture, of leading songs, of doing puppet shows that taught really good lessons. Many of them gave speeches. They just did a lot of great things to help prepare them to be leaders in the kingdom of God, just like they are today, leaders. They're going to grow in different ways and lead in different ways, but we're thankful for that. Well, this month ends that first section of Bible reading, and I have been this month using this month's Bible reading, the book of Acts, as a basis for the presentations that I have made. And what I've done is look at some of the sermons in one way or another. You can look at them in so many different ways, and I've just chosen to look at those sermons in ways that I wanted to share with you some things. And this sermon that Paul is going to present before Felix is not any different. It's a great message. It's a message that needs to be preached. I want to say again, needs to be preached to us. Some of you will say, I've heard that before. All I want to do is say one more time, good for you. Because through the Bible, the word remember is used over and over and over and over and over and over until those of you that think you've heard everything before, you would be sick of listening to all the times God said, remember. And he points us back to things that we need to constantly think about as we think about the message of God. Some folks, perhaps in this audience, need to think about this title. When we hear the word of God, it might be that you are a faithful member of the body of Christ and you've been coming to worship many, many years. But what you've done is you've come, you've sung really beautiful songs like we've sung tonight, you've bowed your head in prayer, you have gone to Bible class, and wow, you have really done something special, haven't you? Well, you have. But it isn't all that God wants from you. I hope that if you are a person who really prides yourself in worship, you'll keep doing that, but move into the world round about you, taking the message of God as you go into the world. Take the gospel with you. I hope you will be shaken if you are just coming to worship, and I hope you'll be moved. We need that. There may be some people in this room tonight who have been members of the body of Christ who are unfaithful. I hope when you hear the message of God, this one tonight is a good one for you to think about. If you're in that condition, I hope you hear the message of God. And my prayer is that you will be shaken. You won't just sit there one more time, roll your eyes one more time, But I hope you'll listen to the message and be shaken by what God is saying to all of us. You might be a young person sitting over here or somewhere else in the audience, and you have come to know what God teaches about salvation. And you may be living a lifestyle that is pretty good, but remember, I heard several times in some of the presentations, there is none good in and of themselves apart from Jesus Christ, because we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God, and we need to be in Christ and we need to have Christ in us. And there's only one way the Bible teaches for that to occur, and that is for any of you who have never been baptized, look at your sins, be shaken by them, and be moved to turn away from sin and be baptized into Christ. What a great blessing that is. Don't want you to be shaken by the gospel message, but not moved. We all need to be moved. This particular statement is my way of thinking about Felix. He was shaken. He was trembling. He was agitated. He was upset by the message that he heard, but he decided to wait. He didn't do what he knew he needed to do. It might be that there's somebody in this room that wants to be obedient to God, but you want to talk to somebody privately, any of our elders. There are so many members in this group today that would talk to you. Come see Billy Smith, Roy Sharp, any of the elders, other people here that you know and love would love to talk to you privately if you need that, if you are shaken, but do not want to be moved in a public way. But in just a little bit, we're going to sing this song that Clay has announced, and I'm hoping that if you are shaken by the message of God, you will be moved to respond. Do what God says. In this story, in the book of Acts, chapter 24, we can look and see that Paul is before Felix. When you take a look at the verses before the ones that Billy read, you're going to see Paul is being charged. Here are some of the charges that they are bringing against Paul. He's a pestilent fellow. He's a pest. He is causing trouble of different kinds. He is a mover of sedition. He is inciting people against religion, religious authorities. He's inciting people claiming there's a king besides Caesar. He is just a terrible kind of fellow. And then they looked at him as though he's the leader of some strange religious group. Well, they really were a strange religious group because they were trying to follow their Lord Jesus Christ. They were not strange because they were some sect of the Nazarenes, because Jesus happened to be from the city of Nazareth. They were people listening to what Jesus said needed to be done in order to save their souls, and they were willing to do it. And they were willing to preach it, and they were willing to take that message into the world. They were shaken when they heard the message, and they were moved, so much so that they were looked upon as sort of being strange. They claimed that he profaned the temple. He answers all of those charges. If you look at verses 12 and 13, he says they can't prove any of the things that they have said. They found me in the temple. I didn't have a large crowd with me. There was no multitude with me. I wasn't inciting anyone. I was being at peace in the temple when they found me. And then as he talks about the situation, he says, these are the people that were there, that came. They ought to be the ones who are standing here, not this lawyer, not this hired person, if you will. Those people that claim that I profaned the temple, that I did these things, bring them here and let them answer to me. He very clearly, in verse 14, makes a claim that he believes in the same God that the Jewish people that were there pointing to the charges and saying that Paul was guilty, he said, I believe in the same God they believe in. And he said, I stand before you today trusting in every word the law says, in every word prophets say. He believed in the word of God. and he was being obedient to the word of God. So these great charges were being brought. His response was very straightforward, very, very significant. And then Felix decides he wants to wait. And a part of the reason he wants to wait is because he has, if you will, some inside information. He knows about the way. That is one of the terms that is used to talk about what these people were doing with their lives. They were obeying God. They were faithful to God. They were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in prayers and in breaking of bread. They did what God wanted them to do. And they were so known, they became known as the way. And Felix had a more excellent knowledge of the way. Everybody in this room needs a more excellent knowledge of the way. We've got some people in here that are very bright and very studious and very knowledgeable, but no one of us knows everything we ought to know about the way. But Felix had enough information, apparently, about the way. And perhaps one of the reasons was his wife was a Jewish person. And she understood the law and the prophets, and she had talked with him about it. And perhaps they had discussed what the prophets have to say about the coming one, about the Messiah, about the Christ. But he knew more about the way, probably, than many of those leaders of the Jewish people who came to charge him knew. And so perhaps he put off until the commander comes down, and he's going to wait and listen to the charges from an official of the government, the Roman government, before he listens to the charge fully and makes a decision in the case. In the meantime, Paul had gained enough favor with Felix that he was to have liberty. He wasn't going to be in a lockdown cell, chained to a post of some kind, in a dungeon somewhere. He was going to have some liberty. And he had enough liberty that his friends could provide for him, they could visit with him. And so Paul had some great blessings here in the circumstance. But what I want you to know, and what I want you to see at this point is, for whatever reason, Felix had a pretty good knowledge of the way. What about you? What about you? What about all of those kinds of circumstances that I described a while ago? You have a pretty good knowledge of the way. If you do, I hope that knowledge shapes you and moves you to be a better person, to be more Christ-like, to be more Paul-like as we approach the world and as we preach and teach the message of God. He put off, gave some excuse, and in the legal realm, it may have sounded like a great excuse, but in the spiritual realm, he was saying no to God. He wasn't just saying, I want to hear from the Roman government. He is saying no to God. And as he puts that off, he understands Paul had a lot of information. And so he wants a hearing. And there are just 3 points. Billy, you would have been proud of Paul on this occasion. Those 3 points, I don't know if he had a poem, but he had 3 points. And they were great points. They're points every person in this room needs to think about. And I'm telling you what I think is the honest truth. Every one of us needs to be shaken as we listen to the Bible talk about the righteousness of God and the way that we all live. The way the best one of us lives. In John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his closest disciples, and he's telling them that he's going to go away. That would be awfully sad. Jesus is going to leave them, and he's going to go away. But when Jesus goes away, the Spirit comes. What an unthinkable gift. God was going to leave with us as Jesus ascends into heaven. Though he's going away, the Spirit is coming. Verse 8 in chapter 16 says, and when he comes, when the Spirit of God comes, he is going to convict the world. You ever been convicted of anything? We hate it, don't we? We hate getting caught. We hate being convicted in our hearts that we are wrong when we are right. But it's a great blessing to be convicted of the fact that you know what you are to do and you are convicted enough to get up and do that. So conviction is a great blessing when we do what's right and we put it in our favor instead of causing us to feel bad and sad and put off doing what God says. When the Spirit comes, he's going to convict us, first of all, of sin. And then of righteousness. And that's what Paul is going to speak to Felix about. He is going to spend a few minutes with Felix, convincing him about the sin that is in everybody's life, and that would include Felix. He is going to spend some time convincing him about what righteousness is all about. And then he's going to convince him about the judgment to come. When you take a look at a scholarly dictionary, a lexicon, Thayer says that righteousness is integrity. It's about virtue, that which is excellent. It's about purity of life. It's about uprightness. It's about correctness in thinking, correctness in feeling, correctness in acting. That's what Paul is going to preach to this Roman governor about. What a great message. And how, when we read the historical context of the life of this man, how he needed righteousness preached to him. He was not a great person, not a great character. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, Isaiah reminded the people of God as he was teaching them and as he was talking about God. And how great God was and all the things that God would do for them and did for them. And then he wants them to remember, and may you and I remember. When we start getting a sore arm from trying to pat ourselves on the back about what we do, how much we do, how much time we spend, how hard we work, and we just feel so right, and we look at somebody else out there that they are not doing as much as I am, and I begin to kind of look down on them, every one of us needs to be reminded that our righteousness is like filthy rags. There's nothing that I can do on my own to become righteous because of my sin. There's nothing any one of us can do on our own without Jesus Christ's righteousness as we have it offered to us is only found in Jesus Christ. And all of us need it because we all sin. Felix heard a great message that he needed so much. So does Roy Sharp. And you can put your name in there too. You need to think about righteousness as it is presented to us in the Word of God. And remember again, those of you who are senior saints and you've been Christians, some of you 60 years, 70 years, you need to remember again that your righteousness tonight can only be found in Christ, and apart from him, none of us have anything but filthy rags to offer as our own righteousness before God. But there was a second point that Paul made, and that's self-control. Got any troubles there? I've got a few troubles there. Self-control. How hard is that? Felix needed this message of righteousness. He needed the message out in front of him of self-control. You see, I want to spend all of my spare time doing what I want to do. being who I want to be, thinking my thoughts, doing my things. I have trouble with self-control when I understand. You see, Felix had a more excellent knowledge of the way. Oh, me. We need self-control. Thayer again says, this is the virtue of one who is able to master the desires that we have, the passions that we have, and he says, especially sensual appetites. Those things, I am standing before you weighing more than I want to weigh, and the main problem is, somebody tell me, self-control. I like gravy and biscuits. I like cream potatoes on top of the gravy and biscuits. And I like potatoes so much, I want hash brown casserole on top of the cream potatoes and the gravy and the biscuits. And I like French fries. And I like food. And being controlled when I eat is very, very difficult. I have a lot of things that I need to do, papers to grade. There are so many things that I need to be and do to be successful in my life. I have sermons to prepare. I have all of these things to do, and taking the time to do them takes self-control. We need it. We have passion about a lot of things. Some things we need passion about because they're good. But there are some things that we have passion about that God wants us to have control of our thoughts, control of our desires, control of our feelings, control of our actions. And we can do that, God says. And so we need self-control. Knowledge isn't enough. We all could quote, when I say all, most of us that have been going to church a long time and growing up in programs the way we have, we need to have faith. But God says through the writing of Peter to add to your faith virtue, that excellence that we need in every phase of life. Add to your faith virtue, and to, you see, virtue's not enough. And add to virtue knowledge, and knowledge and virtue are not enough. We need self-control. And when we get to self-control, we can still say, that's not enough. But when you have knowledge, that doesn't mean you have the job done. There was a guy named Kenneth Hoover, good guy. I heard him preach when I was a student at Freed Hardeman. He told me after a sermon, I was talking with him, and he told me he could quote the entire New Testament with the exception of the genealogical listings. And his intent, I don't know if he ever did that or not, his intent was to learn those listings by name. But he could quote the whole New Testament. You see, it wouldn't matter if Kenneth Hoover or Roy Sharp or any of you could quote the whole New Testament without controlling the passions that you have and the desires that you have for things that are wrong, or controlling yourself to do those things which are right. We need self-control to do the right thing. And so Felix heard that message, and he needed it. I need it. How about you? And then he spoke of the judgment to come. Well, I had a picture of supposedly Paul on trial in that first slide. When we read about the trials that those people went through, the literal trials like the one Paul is going through here, it doesn't sound all of that bad. But when we take a look at the trial of Jesus, it's unthinkable, isn't it? No evidence. The judge says, I find no fault with him. The judge washes his hands, and yet here is a man taken from the trial, beaten nearly to death, forced to drag a cross up the hill to Calvary, nailed to the cross, and died a death for you and me. We can't conceive of judgment that is going to be that negative toward us. Our culture is far, far, far too kind. We don't like capital punishment to begin with, and we certainly would not go for what would be called cruel and unusual punishment. And I don't think the worst of the worst of the worst could let us know the negative side of judgment that Paul was talking to Felix about, the negative side of judgment that Felix understood he was facing because of his lack of righteousness, his lack of self-control to do that which is right. Even though he had a more excellent knowledge of the way, he could not conceive of the judgment. But let me tell you this. He understood enough to tremble. He understood enough to shake in his boots, as we say. How well do you understand the judgment of God? When you start thinking about your behavior or lack of proper behavior, do you stand thinking about what a pleasant thing it would be to stand before God? The Hebrew writer says in chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing, something to be afraid of, a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But that's not what God wants. That's not what Paul wanted from Felix in the end. It was a great blessing for Felix to hear, have that great knowledge. It was a great blessing for him to know the message of God. But Paul's hope and his joy would have been for Felix to say, I want to be in the way. I know about the way. I know what it takes to be right. I know what it takes to control myself. I know about the judgment to come. And Paul so wanted Felix to think and believe enough to not just be shaken, but to be moved to obey instead of putting off and waiting, hoping that Paul might give him some money, hoping perhaps that someone else would have a chance to make the decision and he wouldn't have to make it. All of us have to make the decision about the Word of God. There are people perhaps in this room who know the Word of God, and you would say you believe it, but have not obeyed it in the way that you believe you should. It's not about what Roy Sharp thinks tonight. It's about what God says. And it's about your response to it. My prayer, my hope is that with your knowledge of the way, that if that message shakes you, you'll be moved to respond. Even now, let's stand and let's sing.